Blog Talk Radio. between the sheets. Oh, girl, let me hold you tight. to love and care for me when skies were gray. Whenever I was down, you were always there to comfort me. No one else can be what you have been to me. You will always be, you will always be the girl in my life for all time.
Mama, mama, you know
for me, have always been around for me, even when I was bad. You've shown me right from my wrongs. Yes, you did. And you took up for me when everyone was down on me. You always did understand. You gave me strength to go on.
There were so many times looking back when I was so afraid. And you come to me and tell me I could face anything. And no one else can do what you've done for me. You'll always be, you will always be the girl in my life. Ooh, oh.
Mama, mama,
and gentlemen, welcome to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. Tonight, it's Let's Talk About It, where we do date night differently. I am your host, Van Meadows, a.k.a. Poetic. The dial-in number, if you are listening in online, is 319-527-6300. And when you get here, please press 1. And if you're already here and you want to engage in tonight's discussion and poetry, press 1. Tonight's show is sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? I got mine. You got yours? Let's give a huge shout out to Epiphany Radio CEO, none other than our illustrious one, author Larry Maddox, a.k.a. For Real, the Poet Douglas, for giving us this platform, Epiphany Radio. He is also the CEO of Raw Links. So if you know author Larry Maddox, hit him up for your Raw Links or just say thank you for giving us Epiphany Radio. Tonight's topic is an interesting one. We're going to stir the pot a little bit. Tonight we want to know, which relationship is more important, mother and son or husband and wife? Which relationship is more important? I'll give my 2 cents. Certainly, in my opinion, husband and wife relationship is more important for a number of reasons. But the main reason is the son is supposed to leave mother and father and cleave to the wife because that's whom he's making his life with. He's already had a life with his mother and father, but he now has to have a life with his wife. And that does not mean he does not respect his mother, but the wife comes first. Ooh, I can see some of y'all fuming, some of y'all biting your lips, some of you like, ooh, I can't wait to get on the mic. I can't wait for you to get on the mic either. But first, let me go ahead and do my piece and get it out of the way. The title of this piece is called Love's Unity. Spontaneous combustion of passion, igniting this rhythmic intensity of aggression where two hearts beat as one. Hoping a love like theirs will never be undone. Focusing on all the positive aspects of their commitment. Not seeking any resentment. Just the idealism that crossing the depth of their love as rivers of negativity try to force them apart. But their love puts a hedge of protection around their dreams and desires of each other's connection. The energy aurora creates a new emergence of a plethora of limitless possibilities, avoiding any moons of deception. So their moans of pleasure outweighs the power of lipped suggestions that they're unequally yoked, as the lies are permanently revoked, because she is he and he is she. The elements of their dynamic of love is no longer I, but we. We grow beyond unparalleled dimensions that try to tear us apart and rip out foundations, just so heartbreak can feed on our broken energy sources. The vibrations of forever are our choices, knowing full well there's entities trying to sever our connection, feeling helpless in the process of our disconnection, as we make a unified front that we will stand no matter what. And that's that piece. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm dying to get into the minds of these poets tonight and hear some of their dynamic ink. So let's bring on the first poet of the evening. Ladies and gentlemen, it is our good brother, none other than Epiphany's own one-half host of Poetic Therapy, Stan the Man Phillips. What's good with you, Stan?
Oh, good evening, Van, and what a topic.
Indeed, my brother, indeed. How you feeling tonight, Stan?
Oh, I'm feeling very good, very good. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you, man. Glad to have you here. So this topic, man, what do you think?
Yeah.
What do you think?
There are a lot of old cliches that fall into line with these relationships, like the one you said where the son cleaves to the wife. And that goes with an old saying, too, which is a son is a son until he takes a wife, but a daughter is a daughter for all her life. And that's mainly because the father always sees her, no matter how old she is or how old he is.
Mm-hmm.
He always sees her as his little girl.
Absolutely.
That's just natural.
Right.
As far as the relationship between a mother and son, that too is two ways. Mama's little man, daddy's little girl. The daughter gravitates toward the father to basically see what it is to look for in a man by using the father as an example. For the son, it's the mother. This is where it gets to changing.
Yes.
When it comes to a husband and wife, that is a union unmatched. If you listen to the traditional vows and you think about that one vow that everyone assumes is strictly about fidelity, read it again. It's a much broader spectrum than just that. Forsaking all others and keeping only to each other. That is a union that no one in the family, no friends, nothing in the world comes between. It is unmatched. The husband and wife union, I would have to say.
Absolutely. I'm gonna throw a monkey wrench in this a little bit later. I'm going to throw a monkey wrench in this. Because I was talking to one of my good friends, Mr. You may know of him. His name is J. Rob, the wise son, and he added another component.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely going to add another piece to it. But you are definitely, you and I feel the same way, because I'm going to grow old, or at least I would hope that I'm growing old with my wife, and
yes.
not my mama.
Truly, exactly. That's where it is an unmatched. Because
right.
even though the son may have his mother as an example of what a woman is, it doesn't mean his wife is her.
Absolutely.
There may be other parts of her character, of her personality, that attracted him that were not
yeah.
of his mother. The same thing for the daughter. There are things about her husband that be nothing like her father.
Right.
But that attraction brought them together.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Transcending all others.
There it is. All right, my brother. I love it, man. I love it. Now, which piece of ink would you like to drop on us tonight?
Well, considering we're so close to Halloween, I thought I'd do something along those lines.
Ooh.
And you've
okay,
got a choice
man.
Of two titles. You have a choice of two titles.
All right.
One, Journey the Amberant Darkness, or Shadow and Screams.
Let's go with Shadows and Screams.
Here we go. Her last sane thought. Wait, Shadow's eyes don't glow. Of course, he could not know that, and she may never be able to tell him. His intern sat in a chair, oblivious to all around. Physically, she was unresponsive to any outside stimulus. No apparent medical reason for her present state. Yet her hands were clenched to the point that her nails were embedded in her palms, and her eyes wild, wide open, locked on some image only she sees now. Most disturbing was her face. A pretty young woman with as analytical and logic-driven a mind as he sat before him drained of color. Her face so taut it seemed on the verge of tearing. Her jaw distended and locked, mouth agape in a grisly grimace. He and his charges had studied many alleged paranormal cases. They found them to be a combination of hyperactive imaginations and scientifically explainable causes. Never had any of these field studies resulted in such as this. What did she see or imagine she saw that could drive her from logic and sanity to this catatonic state of terror? A force unrelenting and unforgiving, an encounter she now relives while frozen in the moment of screaming silence and peace.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Whew. Stan, this is bone chilling, screaming and hollering, bruh.
Happy Halloween.
Vincent Price is somewhere saying, yeah. And he's looking over at Edgar Allan Poe, and he's looking at Edgar Allan Poe and said, he's the one. He is the one. Stan, this was amazing ink, brother. Man, this was amazing ink. Happy Halloween.
Oh, my pleasure, my friend.
Happy Halloween,
indeed.
Good stuff, brother.
My pleasure, my friend, and on to the next.
Absolutely. Before we let you go over to the VIP lounge, can you let everybody know where they can find you on Epiphany Radio doing what it is that you do?
Well, when I can, you might find me on almost any venue on Epiphany Radio. But this next Saturday with Danielle Cheney, La Perla Negra, you will find me on Poetic Therapy.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Poetic Therapy. All right, Stan, get over there to that VIP lounge. I got some champagne. This champagne is coming from France tonight. Because
all right.
It's Halloween Eve, and the club owner wants to make sure that, y'all get just right to bring in tomorrow, if you know what I mean.
Nothing wrong with having some spirits before you meet the spirits.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, my brother, we're going to get you over to the VIP lounge. Ladies and gentlemen, Stan the Man Phillips, take your socks off.
Amen, my friend, and one love, one mic.
One love, one mic. Man, did y'all hear Stan with that bone-chilling piece? Oh, man, it is definitely Halloween season. Let's see who we got next on the mic. Next on the mic, we've got Divine Inspiration. What's good with you, my brother?
Hey, what's going on? I said, no,
how
I
you feeling
you calling to the show. I don't know what they're doing tonight, but I'm going to call in.
That's all right. That's all right. I think you might be my plot twist, but we're about to find out. We are about to find out. So how you doing, Paul? You doing all right?
Yeah, I was doing all right until you came up with that theme for tonight. You're trying to start some stuff.
I am. I really just want to see where everybody's head is, yeah. Basically. We want to see what's going on. So Mr. Plot Twist himself. what say you, Divine Inspiration? Is it the mother and son relationship the best, the most important, or is it the dynamic of the husband and wife? Which relationship is more important?
See, this is a slightly unfair question for me to answer. Number one, being the consummate mama's boy. And number two, being the product of a single parent home, being my mother. So for me, the mother and son relationship is most important, but I don't want to diminish any of the importance of the husband and wife. When it's right, I don't want to put one above the other. I would say they're different, but I don't think one is more important than the other.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I did say that I would have a plot twist, didn't I? Didn't I say that? I did say that. Divine inspiration.
Yes, sir.
Are you your mother's only child?
No. She has three. I'm the middle child.
You're the middle child. Okay.
I'm the favorite.
Here's the plot twist. Here's the plot twist.
Uh-huh.
What if you were an only child as a son? Mm-hmm. Now would that mother-son relationship be more important than the husband and wife?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm.
Absolutely. Because you were the only one that mom had to shower with her maternal love, maternal instincts. You got it all. So to that child, I think that relationship would be the most important. Now, from the mother's perspective, I can't speak on that.
I told you we was going to get into it tonight. I told you we were going to get into it tonight.
You're going to repent tomorrow.
So now, divine inspiration, now that you've answered the question with your flesh, now let's have you answer the question with your spirit.
The Bible tells us that we are to leave our parents and form the relationships with our wives and husbands. So biblically speaking, the husband and wife relationship would be the more prevalent, most important. But I'm a blessed creation, so I'm sticking with my mama.
Don't hurt him too bad, God. Don't hurt him too bad. Don't hurt him too bad.
He ain't finished with me yet, man.
I know that's right, brother. I know that's right. But I understand where you're coming from. I wrestle with the question myself, to be honest with you. For me to answer, it was an easy answer for me, because me and my mother's relationship was very estranged. And by the time we were beginning to work on the damage that had been done to our relationship. So for me, it's always been, you know, God has always had a maternal figure available to me in my walk, in my journey. But when I was married, there was no more important relationship than that relationship with my spouse. So, but I understand where you're coming from. I do. I really do.
Now, I may change that once I get married.
You know, right.
My views on that may change. But as of right now, I stand firm on my mama.
Y'all hear him? He going back to it now. He going back to it now.
But I'm being honest, Lord. Doesn't that count me for something? I'm trying.
I love it.
I'm trying.
I love it. You definitely trying, brother.
Oh, man.
Hey, listen. What piece do you have for us tonight?
You know, I was looking at my memories on Facebook, and because I recover some of my lost poems that way. And this is one of my favorite poems that I had lost, and I was sick about losing it, but I got it yesterday. Got it back yesterday. It's from 2016. And it's called The Invisible Masses.
All right, the mic is yours, brother.
Can you see me? Does anybody see me? I feel transparent, opaque, as if I were a ghost, an invisible entity trapped between the worlds of the living and the dead, unseen and ignored by humanity over and over again. I can feel myself, sometimes smell myself, and I vaguely remember that I was able to feel joy. But mostly, I feel sadness, loneliness, abandonment, neglect, shame, and pain. I can no longer pinpoint how all this came to be. I just know that I am in between worlds where no one sees or cares about me. Trapped in this land of the world against me, a prisoner of hunger, tears, hopelessness, and poverty. Don't think for a moment that this was by design. I didn't wake up and say, I want to exist like this. Jobs lost, evictions, convictions, and restrictions have all played a part in me ending up existing in a world that seemingly has no heart. If I try hard enough, I can sometimes catch a glimpse of my former life, one where I laughed and dined and danced and took simple pleasures for granted, like sleeping in a bed, going to the fridge and grabbing a snack, or simply greeting someone who would actually greet me back. But alas, those are just fleeting memories of a life once lived. Now I am a vaporous, invisible being with no place to call home, so aimlessly through the streets and alleys and back streets and parks and back alleys I roam. I am so much more than this soiled shell of a man. I once had a job, a roof over my head, a family to love. Then my world came to an end, and here I am, aimlessly roaming, begging, and freezing without coat, scarf, or glove. This is far from where I want to be, but I see no way out. I am trapped in an existence of poverty and homelessness in what claims to be the wealthiest country in the world. And yet millions are invisible like me, trapped where no one cares, where within my desolation I am viewed with disdain and with scorn. Or what I wouldn't give for a decent meal and a bath and a good night's sleep. To be able to regularly brush my teeth and without disgust look into a mirror and comb my washed hair instead of trying to clean up and being met by unkind words or that you are a pathetic stare. I suppose all that is too much to ask, but no one cares. I see hundreds walk past me each and every day. They're afraid to give eye contact or, God forbid, just greet me or acknowledge me. Instead, they have absolutely nothing to say. I have almost forgotten I am actually a real human being, since so many have passed without caring or taking notice. I no longer care what is to become of me. Perhaps in death, I will finally be free, and maybe then someone will see me. Doesn't anyone see that there are many like me who, through no fault of our own, are prisoners of homelessness and poverty? Many of us are not the drug addicts you soothe your conscience by labeling us. We are merely victims of economic misfortune, not sleeping sores oozing with pus. We are you. Without the blessings you've received, we are fellow human with feelings and dreams. We are not all addicts or con artists with the gift of gab and habits or schemes. Merely down on our luck, in need of a hand. But we are the invisible and without help in the mightiest of lands. We are the homeless, the invisible you see every day. God bless you all. And maybe one day, but bless us as well. Hello? Can you see me? Does anybody see me? And peace.
Yo. Paul, my God. anybody see me? Invisible. No care in the world. I'm hungry. I'm cast out. Some by my own doing. Some not by my choice.
What?
I love this piece, Paul.
That poem, thank you. That poem was a conviction moment for me. I am in Philadelphia at K&A. It's a spot that's very well known for the drug addicts that hang around the L down there. And I used to have to go catch the bus to go to my job right there at that spot. Mm-hmm. And every day they're coming up to me, wanting a dollar here, a dollar there, or a cigarette. And I used to look at them the same way, with disdain. And I got on the L this one particular day, and the Lord told me, the way you treated that young man was not right. Because I lied to him and told him I don't smoke, and I had a whole pack of cigarettes in my pocket. I was just tired of giving out cigarettes.
Mm.
But and he convicted me. And on the short ride, it was about maybe 8 stops. This is what he gave me.
Wow. 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 What an eye-opening piece.
Mom used to tell us that we're all just a paycheck away from being homeless.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mm. Thank you for your transparency with this piece, Paul. And I'm glad that the Lord gave you conviction to write it as a response out of your action. Mm.
And I must say, humbling. I look at them differently now. He brought me down a notch. You know, there was a period where I slept in my car for about a month, so I understand a little bit more why he told me, get off your high horse, because you ain't far from it, you know?
Right,
we have
right.
That they're just less fortunate at a particular junction in their life, in a season in their life. They're just
right.
You and I.
Wow. That's good stuff, bro. I love it, man. I love it.
Thank you.
I love it.
Thank you.
Before I usher you over to the VIP lounge, man, to grab you a glass of that bubbly, let everybody know what you got.
See, I'm ready to get over there. I'm ready to go get me a glass of wine. What you want, bro?
I know you are, man. We need to know what you got going on in the Epiphany Radio universe.
Well, tomorrow night, as you know, the last Sunday of every month is youth poetry. But this is also Halloween, so I have a feeling we're not going to have many youth. So, for the more seasoned of us.
They'll be passed out from too much candy.
They might be wide awake from too much candy. I know we used to drag my mother around to all of the more affluent neighborhoods. Because we would leave each neighborhood back then with a whole bag. We'd have to come in for a full bag or a pillowcase is full. Candy back then. That was the good old days. And the only thing we had to worry about then was we couldn't eat the apples. Because the thing was some idiot put a razor blade in an apple. And I was just talking to somebody today. I'm praying that the sickness of this world we don't hear on the news where some baby has died of an overdose of fentanyl that was put into some candy. Or some of those edibles were put into a child's bag. For trick-or-treat candy. I'm praying that that not be the case.
Well, I hope not. Lord, cover our children.
I pray for
protect our children.
Yes, Lord.
All right, my brother. Now you may go on over 9 o'clock tomorrow night, you know, since he was in a rush to get to that buffet.
76300. And come see
absolutely.
Poetic and divine inspiration. And let's have church.
Let's have church. All right, good brother. I got a feeling you'll be repenting tomorrow night for your statements tonight, but we'll see.
You might be right.
All right, good brother. Go on over there, grab you that glass of bubbly.
All right.
And take your
one
socks
love,
off.
One love, one
baby.
Yes,
one love, one mic.
Baby.
Ladies and gentlemen. Paul Sampson, a.k.a. Divine Inspiration. Catch him tomorrow night with the Inspiration Factory with yours truly, Poetic. Next up, on the mic, we don't have just anybody. We don't have a knight. We don't have a bishop. We got us a sir. Sir Lawrence, what's good, my brother?
What it do, what it do, what it do, sir? What's happening, man?
Oh, man, doing all right, man. How you feeling?
Yeah. You know, I finally caught you this time.
Yes, sir. You caught me, baby. You caught me. So how you feeling tonight, man? You feeling all right?
Yeah, I feel pretty good, man. I had a real enlightening conversation earlier this evening, being able to share, you know, because some things you can't share with everybody because their ears aren't ready. But their ears were ready, and we I thought the ancestors was walking around the room.
Ooh, my gosh. My gosh. I know that's right, man. Sometimes that's how it be, man. That's how it be. The ancestors get to walking around and everything. And right through your conversation, man. And sometimes you just got to listen, you know.
Dude.
Just listen.
Just
guarantee, man, you'll hear something real good. Real good.
Already. Yeah.
Well,
I got it.
That's good, man. That's good. I'm glad, man. Hopefully the ancestors was able to impart some wisdom into those that were in listening earshot.
Yeah. I mean, It was there. It really was.
That's all right. That's good, man. That's really good. Well, I tonight, man, I got one of these topics, man, that I know that piques your interest. So let me see how you feel about it. Let me see what Sir Lawrence thinks about it. In the dynamic of relationships, out of these two relationships, which one would you say is more important? Mother and son? Or husband and wife?
Oh, wow. Woo! That's a tough one there. Because they're both their own separate entity. And then, you know, not that you can compare them to anything, but it would depend on what you're comparing them to. I mean, because you can't. Mother and son? I mean, come on. I mean, my mother was my best friend. Seriously. She was my mother and my best friend. But husband and wife, I mean, the problem with that is you only get one mother.
Yeah.
That's the problem with that. You only get one. I mean, you know, you know, I had a friend, me and him damn near fell out because his wife passed. And I was trying to share with him, you know, to help him get past it. Not because you never get over it, but you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you need a crutch, okay? And I was trying to be the crutch for him, and then he told me that, losing a wife doesn't compare to losing a mother.
And,
you know, I couldn't get with him on that one. I couldn't get with him on that one because, you know, it ain't the same thing. I could give a darn. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I get it. You lose your wife, I get that. I'm not lessening anything. But you can't listen one over the other. You can't do that.
Right. I see what you're saying. So, ladies and gentlemen, Sir Lawrence is going to straddle the fence on this one. He's not picking. He's not taking a side.
No, this is too strong to take a side on this one. It's too strong. And first of all, because I didn't even experience the other one, but I respect.
Oh, yeah.
I've been I've been married more than once.
Mm-hmm.
I'll admit that. But now, when my mother passed, it wasn't the same thing as losing a wife. It wasn't the same.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, man. I too been married twice. I done, you know, bear that burden. And wow, it's a tough call when you put it that way. It's a tough call.
Tough call, man.
You raise a compelling argument there, brother.
Yeah, you know, it's that's a tough one. Yeah, goodness, that's tough. That's tough, man.
I figured I was going to get somebody that was going to stay on that fence. And be like, no. I mean, here's the thing, right? Because when you look at it from your perspective, been married twice. Like I have married twice and divorced twice. If my mother was still alive, she would still be there for me.
Already. It wouldn't even matter.
She'd see me go through 4, 5, 6 wives. She'd still be there.
She'd still be right there.
That's the one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is, if I lost my mother and I was married, my wife would be there. At least I would hope that she would be there. See, because
right.
That's where it gets to the whole point of, is this wife really your wife? Or is she just a title? Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I got to write that one down.
Yeah,
Are you really a wife or are you just the title? Oh, my God.
Right there,
I'm
going
to go somewhere with
right
that. I'm going to go somewhere with that.
Strong. That's strong right there, man.
Mm.
Because, I, you know what? My very first wife, I still think that, I tell people, if she walked in the room while we sitting here right now, I cannot say what I would do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't. I mean, because my first wife was, that's when I understood what love is all about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think what broke us up was we got together too soon. Because I was in my 20s. We both were in our 20s.
Okay.
You know, and in your 20s, I mean, you know what I'm saying? You still trying to figure out what's hot and what's cold. You know what I'm talking about? You know, and so, but in fact, I wrote a piece, and that's interesting too. I wrote a piece about that because if she knocked on my door at this moment and said, "Hey, listen, let's see if we can figure this out." I would stop everything and say, "All right, let's do it."
Mhm. Mhm. Oh man. Man. Oh my gosh. You give me a lot to think about tonight, Sir Lawrence. I knew somebody would have had me thinking.
Hey man. Hey, this is a real topic right here, man. This is strong right here. This is serious. This is so serious.
Yeah, man. It is, man, you know, because, you know, I remember when I said it, I think it was Mojave. Mojave was like, oh, you trying to start some mess. I said, no. I said, it's not that I'm trying to start mess. I think that there are certain aspects that we shy away from as people because we don't want to answer it ourselves.
Exactly.
Because we don't want to hurt another individual.
Thing.
You can't make everybody happy all the time. It just
can't
doesn't
do it.
Work that. It just doesn't work that way. So yeah, so we getting into it tonight, man. We getting into it tonight. The nitty gritty.
The gritty. Come on.
Yes, sir, man. Yes, sir. And I appreciate you for putting in your perspective on a nice topic, man. But it's open mic tonight, man. And I want to hear what you brought to lay on us tonight. What you got for us?
All right, I'm gonna talk about that piece I wrote. It's a small tribute to her, actually.
Okay. The mic is yours.
The one that got away. She broke my field of vision. I suddenly saw sharper images. The universe aligned our parallels. Studying her was like taking a course in beauty. Homeroom was describing the point on this star. She moved with that just happened to look good gait. I saw everything me and my inner mind already discussed. Here, a gift, you know, given in full trust. As I was already saying, thank you. The time we were, and although both agreed, our lives together created a measuring stick no one else has been able to scale. What we had was too special for an interrupted run. Our existence at that time in another dimension. I saw the severing taking place. Couldn't get to it in time before the connection broke. The magnetic fields pulling this way and that. She was over here, I was over there. Constellations floating between us. If I could just remember the galaxy, the modus operandi would be easy. Sir Lawrence.
Oh, wow. That's what I'm talking about, bro. This is a deep piece.
Yes, sir.
It's a dedication.
Yeah. Yeah.
This
yeah, that's going to be in the second book just in case she's paying attention.
I know that's right, man. I know that's right, man. You know, you got to, you know, where it says you got to write the vision and make it plain, man. Write what you want to see happen.
Make it plain. And make it
you
plain.
Know, make it plain.
Seriously.
And you're not only making it plain, you putting it in print and in published. Girl, you don't
Come
see what I'm
here.
Doing? you don't see the effort and the hard work that I'm going through to make sure that this thing
You don't see
off.
It. You don't see it. Come on now. That's
Come on
funny.
Now.
That's the truth.
Yes, sir, good brother. Yes, sir, good brother. Listen. We're going to send you on over to the VIP lounge. There's a glass of bubbly with your name on it waiting for you to get there. And the crew let me know, man, and they got plenty. So if you need more than one glass, man, you indulge and you help yourself.
Yes, yes, thank you.
One love, one mic, my brother. Ladies and gentlemen, on his way, Sir Lawrence. Man, that brother's perspective and his piece on tonight's topic. Amazing, amazing, amazing.
This is Epiphany Radio, the real entertainment network. Be me.
Another hour of your boy Big Boss, the rhymes live and direct.
The For Real, Real Entertainment Network. Your poetry outlet. The next phase is online radio. Epiphany.
From one amazing tune to the other.
Epiphany.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Epiphany Radio, the For Real Entertainment Network. Tonight, it's Let's Talk About It, where we do date night differently. The dial-in number is 319-527-6300. And by all means, please press 1. If you're already here and you've been listening and you hear what's going on and you want to weigh in and do some poetry, press 1. Tonight's topic: which relationship is more important, mother and son, husband and wife? What say you? What say you? Next up on the mic, we got my go-go brother, the lyrical engine, Mr. Automatic Charismatic. What's good with you, bro?
I'm doing fine, man.
Good.
I like that question. I would say that, I got a question. To me, it splits. It splits in due time. You know,
okay.
I think that as a child growing up, I would say a mother. But once that child becomes an adult, I would say the husband and wife. It's in, how can someone feel like they've been developed if they can't do things on their own? They have to have their parent, a mother, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I need my mother to become a man. Well, I'd say my father because, you know, I think that, and this is how I feel. A woman can teach a man how to be a man, but so far, but it really takes a man to teach a boy how to be a man. But I just say this, that we need our parents to grow for growth, to get to that point. But when you're married, you cannot have your parents all in your business. You can't have everybody in your business. And that causes a conflict, especially
mm-hmm.
when you have when you have both parents, you know. So
yeah.
To me, I would say that, yeah, it's a split. It's a split between the two, because of evolution.
Okay, so let me play the host. So, you married, right? You're married,
yes.
And your mother and your wife don't get along. Your mama feel like you should not have married that woman. You should have married somebody else. That woman ain't no good for you. Now, you love this woman that you married. You love this woman. Your wife and your mother get into it. Your wife look at you and says these words: it's either her or me. You have got to choose.
Well, you know.
How do you respond to that?
I'm going to say, first of all, I'm going to tell her, never put yourself in that situation that you choose. And number two, let me be a man about my own business. You don't have to put yourself in that position when you say either me or her, because you know in the end of the day, when if two people break up, that's still their parent. That doesn't change.
True. Absolutely.
So they have to be mindful that the only thing way that it could change is that that person, that, that the son, the daughter have to have that conversation. Now, here's the thing about this. Yeah, I'm going to go political. A lot of people talk about how can you marry somebody? How can you be with somebody? How can you do this? Well, especially church folk, here's the thing. David killed a lot of Christians, had them slaughtered. You know what I mean? Before he changed his life. There was an adulteress who Jesus said, he who has not sinned cast the first stone. So, you know, people probably looked at her like, so many people, Moses, they killed a man. So many people that have done wrong. Here's the thing. My woman's a work in progress, and so am I. If you're not a work in progress, that means that you're not looking for progress. Mm-hmm. And if you're not looking for progress, you're not looking for God. Only God can heal a relationship. You're going to have your ups and downs. See, sometimes parents think that they can choose for us. How do they know that God chose that person, that raggedy person, for you for a reason? Why? Because they're not dressed up like a church folk or something like that. Sometimes God's most anointed is the ones that don't look like the church people. They look raggedy.
Bro.
And God said, I'm going to lift you up, and that's your husband right there. I said, what? But they
all right, so can we can we go back? Can we go back to you being a man in the situation and responding to responding to I mean, because you kind of went all the way away from it. I got to bring you back.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm not bad. Let me back it up. I would say like this to my mom, like this, out of respect. I'd say, look, Ma, this is who I want to be with. You know, you're either going to take it, you're either going to accept it, you're not. I'm not, I'm not going to live my life with my parents forever. That's not what I'm here for. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like this, and I tell my woman that, look, just let me handle that. You know what I mean? So it's like this. They're going to have to. Parents ain't going to like everybody that you're with. It's just happens. So. Hey, it's like this. For me right now, if you don't like it, you either deal with it or you don't. I'm going to still keep living. I'm
all
not
right,
living
brother,
my
that's what
life for my parents.
That's what I'm talking
for.
About.
You got to. Because if you do, if you live for your parents, you know, and God bless the parents. But you can't live for your parents. You find that truth, that special one, who knows that might be the one for you. Because everything that look great ain't always good. And everything that look bad may be great.
That's true. That's true. In that breath, good brother, in that breath and in that vein, I appreciate you for astounding on the topic, and now I need to hear that freestyle. What you got for us tonight? Is this open mic tonight?
I'm going to call this form of work in progress.
The mic is yours.
Can you feel what I feel? Tell me what's real. Tell me what you want me to do. Include me in your everything. So you make a decision for me, but I love you. Who's holding the key? And I say it again, and I say it to respect. But I guess, in love that I have to keep everything in check. I reflect my own decision. And when I became an adult, that meant that I did not need any type of permission. I need it to make a world that exists of love today. I'm a work in progress. Yes. Does that person steal? Yes. Has that person been a prostitute? Yes. Did they rob somebody? Yes. Had they been in jail? Yes. But I have this question, though. I read and I read about all the work in progress, about all those who changed their life for the greater good, that they said that I cannot do this anymore. But are we going to look for the good or the bad? I speak on the behalf. The first paragraph displays everything, the whole table of contents to rewrite the nonsense. What has this person done? This person's been terrible. But that doesn't mean that the person's not valuable. If we all work in progress, can we speak in tongue and pray, but not pray? You see, like the P-R-A-Y versus the P-R-E-Y. Pray with a negative tongue and pray with a positive tongue. Changes things. That means, like, I'm a work in progress, and so is she. She is with me. We be as one, the work in progress. Once I'm reaching to the star, once I'm reaching to the sky, you see, I'm dying for this moment, giving myself away, because I've done all those things. I've done bad things, too. Have you ever stolen? Yes. Have you ever done a whole lot of things? Yes. I've done a lot of bad things in my life, things I ain't never been proud of. But God released those things from me. You see, I'm no longer in the chain. I use my brain. I'm a work in progress, and so is he. So if you can't deal with the love, I guess you just have to miss me. Miss Automatic Charismatic, the local engine, 10 kids in, I'm all in. Pipe ain't dry.
My brother. That's what I'm talking about, man. That's what I'm talking about. Nice freestyle, nice topic to go with the topic, man. And you're right, bro. You're right.
Yeah, I think we all in a work in progress.
We all work in progress. Every last one of us. And we're going to be a work in progress till the day we die.
Yes. See, I might have to call the freestyle artist show tomorrow. That, you know, y'all, you know how y'all be freestyling, you know what I mean? Y'all.
Yeah, Paul,
divine
inspiration. Divine inspiration. He had to, you know, he'd be the one. But all right, my brother.
You guys back, though, with the freestyle, though. You guys back.
Nah, you said, I might have to tag you in. But
okay.
But my
man, all that knowing to, I don't know if I can handle that. All that knowing to so much. So
okay,
much.
Okay, brother.
Oh,
All right, man, get over there, grab your glass of bubbly in that VIP lounge, man. Stick around and enjoy the rest of the show, all right?
All right, brother.
One love, one mic.
One love, one mic.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's our brother, Mr. Automatic, Charismatic, the Lyrical Engine, the Freestyle Fanatic. Man, we're going to keep this party going. We're going to move to our next poet, who happens to be Epiphany's own host, one half host of The Love Zone and the host of Express Your Vibe. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Miss VIP. Hey, darling.
Well, hello, Van. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Finally. And this topic is a deep one. It really is.
It is. It is. I mean, it's a lot to think about, right? Now, I'm very, very curious to hear your perspective because you were a mother and you also So which relationship is more important? Is it the mother and son or is it the husband and wife?
Let me just start by saying that even though I wasn't raised by my mother, okay, anything I did, she was very much, you know, supportive of me. And I was raised by my grandmother. And she was more of, I guess by the time they got to me, was live and let live. And if she didn't like someone, she'd say that, okay? And no one is more over like your mom, because they don't like anybody that you get, nobody. Because they feel that it's taking her place where it really isn't. And I think they should take it from the aspect of gaining a daughter, not losing a son. So that's why the mother's, at first, everybody's relationship is great because a daughter's first love is her dad. You know what I'm saying? So he teaches her how a man should treat a woman, and by the time she's grown, she'll know what to look for, and then it's all good.
Right.
So then it shouldn't be too much conflict, okay? Shouldn't be. So anyway, in saying that, each relationship is just as important as the other. But when you finally get married, you know, you cling to your spouse, and you asked automatic something, if your wife said it's either her or me, then in a real sense, it has to be your wife because you left your parents and cleaved to her. Because
you left your parents and cleaved to her. Right. That's what I was trying to usher my brother to see if he would agree with that. But if my wife had gave me that ultimatum, I believe I would have got highly ticked off, and I would have got my mother, my wife, sat them down at the table, and I'd tell them, y'all figure this out, and I would leave. And I would leave.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't know the mother-son dynamic past 14. All I know is the surrogates that God left behind to make sure that I would be okay, right? But
absolutely,
you know, when it came down to the maternal instinct, the nurture for me, it was my grandmother's, my mother's mother.
Right.
She was the one that made sure that I felt the love necessary from a mother, even though she was my grandmother. I adored my grandmother. I mean, y'all just don't know. I adored my grandmother. And I adored her so much. Y'all gotta forgive me. Y'all gotta forgive me. She died in my arms.
Yeah, it's hard. And something that you'll never forget, but I will say this. Once you learn how to live on the love they gave you, it keeps you from going, you know, really down. You just remember how they were, remember how, you know, you were with them in school. But I was raised by my grandmother, my grandparents too, so.
Yeah.
But, now that I'm grown.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm grown, I'm my mother's only child. So now we're almost like best buds, and I'm thinking, this is what we should have been in the first place.
Right. You know, I remember, you know, I was an angry 14-year-old. I mean, I was really angry. I had a bad temper. And when the events happened the way that they happened, I just got angrier. I mean, angrier and angrier. And the maternal component from my grandmother, you know, if my mother and my grandmother had both still been alive today, this question wouldn't be a question for me, because I would clearly say, I would clearly say my mother. And I would venture to say that if those two dynamic pieces of my life were still here, I probably would not have married the women that I married. I'll be honest.
There you go.
Because my mother was hard. My mother was hard. I mean, she was no nonsense to the bone, just hard. And I'll give you an example of how hard my mother was. My mother was mommy and daddy. That's how hard my mother was.
All right.
So you know, those two women that I married wouldn't even have been able to stand next to my mother, and my mother would be like, "Yeah, you ain't it for my child.
Exactly.
You ain't it. You are not it. I right through you. You are not the one. So you might as well go ahead and leave them alone now." But you know, it's now knowing everything that I've known, that I've grown to know, certainly husband and wife dynamic is the important one. God says you got to leave. You got to leave them and be in a life with. So yeah, so I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a hard look. I mean, it's a hard look at relationships. It is. It's hard because nobody ever wants to take a side. Oh man, you mean I got to pick between my mama and me or wife and me? Dang, you know, because the flip side of this question is coming. The next time we have, let's talk about it, where it will be, is it the father, daughter, or the wife, husband? Yeah, we're going to have this. We're going to have this discussion again, just the reverse.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all get ready. Mm-hmm. I'm giving y'all so get ready. This is what it will be. But yeah, I appreciate you for lending your VIP-esque to the topic.
Right.
Now tell me, what piece did you bring for us tonight?
I just finished this piece about right before you called. And this piece is called Thin Skin.
All right. The mic is yours.
I have thin skin, it seems. Emotions like osmosis move in and out of me. I try not to hurt so easily. I love just as deep. Sometimes I can't sleep. Anxiety plagues me at times. I pray for forgiveness if I said or did anything wrong. It's nobody's business but mine, God, and the one I offended. Once I sincerely apologize, I consider the matter ended. It hurts me to hurt those I care for, one who believed I'd wait till the end for. I don't do cold attitudes. I'll go within and shut down until spirit lifts me. I do my best to follow the golden rule, but I'm nobody's fool. I am love. I am magic. And if those can't see my shine, they need to wake up, because I'm the prize. my heart, mind, and body, and my friends and I. I'll never regret loving anyone. It's how I live. I'll never ask anyone to be or to do more than they can give. Though it seems I have thin skin, emotions like osmosis move in and out of me. But if I'm really loved, it should be accepted no matter the state I be. And that's that piece.
Oh, man. Hoo-wee. I like this VIP. Ooh, I like this. This is a nice piece of poetry from the ink of your pen. I love it. And you said you just finished
this?
Wow. Wow, amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Listen, we could sit here and chew the fat all night, dissect your piece by piece, but I know for a fact that you are somewhere on Epiphany Radio. I know this.
I am.
So if you don't mind, share with the people where they can find you.
No, I don't mind at all. On Wednesday evenings, you'll find me and my co-host, my diva, La Perla Negra, on the Love Zone. And the topic for next week is undetermined and, you know, usual time, same station. And this week coming, next week after next, will be Express Your Vibe. So, just come as you are and express your vibe and just chill. And that's it.
Sounds good. I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, are you ready to go over to the VIP lounge and grab your glass of bubbly?
I am ready.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, on her way to the VIP lounge is VIP. You can catch her Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. and every other Friday at 9 p.m. here on Epiphany Radio. One love, one mic, and take your socks off, baby, baby.
One love, one mic.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing. So, tonight, we have been discussing the relationship dynamic, which has a higher importance, mother-son, or husband-wife. Interesting. But, as you heard from our callers, as you heard, there were some that was pretty clear about what side that they were on, husband and wife. Then you had some that were very clear about, you know, mother-son. Then you had, you know, one that was just sitting on a fence. It is my desire and hope that you take these topics, these questions, and you stretch them. You stretch yourself. And just be prepared should you ever end up in the dynamics that we're discussing. But we're going to go ahead and close down the show. Thank you all for coming. Without you, there is no Epiphany Radio. Man. Tune in tomorrow night for the Inspiration Factory with Paul Sampson, Divine Inspiration. Monday night is Raw with Rain, and Essentially Janice. Tuesday night is Fly Speak with Mojave. Wednesday night, The Love Zone is VIP on the Pearl and Negra. Thursday night is The Get Down, J-Rob the Wise Son and Yours Truly Poetic. Friday night is going to be Renaissance Poetry with your host, Keith Eric. And then Saturday night's going to be Poetic Therapy, Stan the Man Phillips, and La Perro, La Negra. So, with that, I bid adieu. One love, one mic. Remember to take your socks off. Peace.